On Sunday, 10th of February, Pope Benedict goes on his yearly Lenten retreat, led this year by a Jesuit. He's the former secretary of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, Cardinal Albert Vanois. During this week-long retreat, the 84-year-old French cardinal will focus on the theme, We Welcome Christ, Our High Priest, drawing from a passage in St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Top Vatican officials also attend the annual retreat with the Pope, who clears his schedule of all audiences for the week. So as Pope Benedict gets ready to clear his agenda for a week of reflection together with his papal household, I thought I'd quiz our popular Latin lover Carmelite Father Reginald Foster about spiritual exercises in the Vatican in the 20th century. Now, I want to speak about something serious, which is spiritual exercises in the Vatican. A practice which began in 1929, the year of the Lateran Pax.
I didn't know that.
With Pius XI, obviously, who admired St. Ignatius. Well, how does one say spiritual exercises?
Well, the exercitia spiritualia. That
comes from straight from Latin.
Yes, actually, yes. The first translations of St. Ignatius in Latin had that.
In my Catholic school, we used to say we would go on retreat.
Yeah, retreat is ad recessum. Recessum spiritualem ire. Recessum, to go in the background. That we can say, it's very beautiful. So the fact is, the way I live is in recessu perpetuo. I'm always on some sort of a retreat because, like, I'm all alone in my room. That's a recessu, to be off.
At any rate, the people who live in the Vatican, headed by the Pope, they go on spiritual exercises each year.
He goes on exercises.
And the papal household accompanies him. That's the correct terminology, the papal household. How does one say papal household?
Well, that's the Domus Pontificia.
The house of the...
The pontifical house.
In 1922, there was an apostolic constitution, Summorum Pontificum. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, so far.
In which St. Ignatius was proclaimed patron of spiritual exercises. You mentioned St. Ignatius tied to spiritual exercises, no?
Yes.
In fact, many of the preachers of these retreats in the papal household were Jesuits.
Yes, and that's the terminology came down from that. I'd like to know, you don't know any of the next words of Summorum Pontificum.
No.
But my students would go crazy over that kind of a beginning of a pontifical document of the Roman pontiffs. And of course, in Latin, you don't know what's happening.
Why?
Well, because you don't know how the sentence is going to end. The will of the Roman pontiffs, the custom of the Roman pontiffs, but the document begins with Summorum Pontificum. We love that kind of stuff.
In other words, you understand the meaning, you have to read the whole sentence.
Well, certainly. You ask my students, they'll club you on the head if you don't give them that answer.
How do you say club you on the head in Latin?
Te verberabunt in capite.
The retreats, the spiritual exercises in the Vatican, were frequent but not annual until... basically 1929, when there was an encyclical, Mens Nostra, which focused on spiritual exercises, right?
There's Mens Nostra. There's another beautiful. Go on.
Tell me, the Mens
Nostra.
Our
mind, our mentality, our thought. Our thought, Mens Nostra.
Just in two words.
One
of the things that Pius XI, who was Pope at the time, said in that encyclical is that the great disease of the modern era is the lack of reflection. This was 1929.
Poof, we can imagine today.
How would you translate that?
I don't know what he said.
The great disease of the modern era.
Ergo mecha maxima egritudo recensioris aetatis est is what?
Is the lack of reflection.
Of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Est manca, vel parva deliberatio, parva contemplatio. Oh, you can say it very nicely.
Since then, spiritual exercises have taken place in the Vatican almost annually, not always. During the Second Vatican Council, They were suspended, I think, for a while. But curiously, Pope John XXIII held the exercises once, just right ahead of the Second Vatican Council, in the tower in the Vatican Gardens.
Mm.
It made me think of, you know, John XXIII loved the gardens in the Vatican, and it was like he was leading all the papal household up the garden path.
Yeah, I don't think he was leading, but anyway, he was there, and maybe they came up there.
At any rate, what I'm getting at is, how do you say in Latin, leading someone up the garden path, which Pope John wasn't doing?
Per hortorum, semitam ducebat pontificiam domum. Leading house through the path of the gardens.
Mm. Whereas to lead someone up the garden path in British English is to deceive, to trick, to entice with false promises of fair prospect.
That's all right, but it's British.
Yeah. Which isn't what John XXIII was doing, but how do you say that in Latin? Sorry.
Well, that would be decipere or fallere or fraudari or frustrari. There are many words to deceive.
One curious thing is that at the time of Pope Pius XII, a complaint was lodged, I believe, by Papa Pacelli himself, that the preacher was delivering what he referred to in Italian as a nobile mattone, which... I'm quoting someone.
A noble brick? What does that mean?
He was saying that it was very heavy going. How would you translate the Italian, you know, nobile?
Well, if you want to say nobile mattone is later nobilis, which doesn't make any sense at all in Latin, but that's all right.
How would you give the gist of...
Bravi or sermo, it was rather heavy talk.
We were talking about John the 23rd Tower in the Vatican Gardens, but actually the spiritual exercises today take place in the Redemptoris Mater chapel. That's a chapel with a Latin name.
Mm-hmm. Redemptoris Mater.
Which means?
Mother of the Redeemer, which is the title of his encyclical on the Blessed Mother.
Pope John Paul's encyclical. Actually, before becoming Pope, when he was Archbishop of Krakow, he preached one of the retreats, one of the spiritual exercises. Becoming one of the first non-Italians to preach in the Vatican.
Go on.
Do you think the fact that many of the cardinals now come from different countries right across the world, do you think that changes the use of Latin within the church?
Certainly it has, in the sense that many of these people might not know Latin well enough. Many of these people were trained here in Rome, got their degrees here in Rome, and so Italian is more accessible and easier for them, and so it's
also because Latin is part of our Western cultural heritage, but some of these people don't come from.
I have Orientals who know Latin very, very well, but you have to be trained, you see. And some of these people, even the Orientals, would feel more at home with Italian because they lived here for a few years and got their degrees here. And oh, they say, oh, to think of Latin would be like a headache for them, which is very unfortunate. I have friends, when I meet them, we start speaking Latin immediately, you see. And the general of my order, and I hadn't seen him for, 25 years. And I saw him in summer, and the first thing, we just started speaking Latin. That was the end of it.
And... the people who take part in the spiritual exercises, they don't speak Latin, do they?
No.
It takes place in Italian.
Yes, well, many of them could or would or should. They should be able, but they...
Heartfelt thanks, as always, to our popular Latin lover. He's Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, who's currently working in the Vatican as the Pope's own Latinist. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.